And next we have Virginie Milliam. Virginie actually works in the museum here when she gets up to speak. You have to get up fast or I tell the three-legged dog joke. And nobody wants to hear the three-legged dog joke again.
All right, so I like food too, but I'm here to talk about the research we do in my lab, and we work on mammals and the effect of changing environment on them. A couple of weeks ago, I was still in the field visiting my students. Mind you, I don't do the work myself anymore. I still like to go in the field and hold a mouse once in a while. The main questions we're asking is what the effect of changing environment is on species, and we use mammals to do that. And I'm particularly interested in the different kind of response that you can expect in a changing environment, and looking at the direction of change. So what kind of change would you expect? Think about size change over evolutionary time in some lineages, whether they're going to get bigger or smaller. The amount of change, how much they're going to change, how bigger they're going to get. And also, more interestingly, the rate of change. How fast is this happening? And I'm going to show you some examples in the context of two different type of environmental change that we've been looking at, and that's isolation, so mammals that are found on islands, like this rat, who really wants to be the only one on his island. And climate warming is another big environmental change, especially in our latitude here in Quebec. So, evolution on islands, I could ask that question to summarize it, kind of. How to make a giant rat, or shrink a human, or shrink an elephant. And this really happened. These images are all reconstruction or some bones, and I'm going to explain what they are really of real animals, real mammals that have been found on islands. This is Homo floresiensis. He's 1 meter tall. 1 meter tall, to give you a reference, this is a three-year-old. Well, my son was three, when he was 3 years old, was 1 meter tall. He's very tiny. A descendant of Homo neanderthal, 1 meter 80 on average, who found himself on an island in Indonesia and evolved there for a surprisingly long time, until 10,000 years ago, and became tiny. It's not a dwarf, it's not a disease, it's just a tiny human. It was called the hobbit. It was discovered 10 years ago. Another example, very striking one, is the dwarf elephants, and there's some everywhere on different in the world, found from the Quaternary. This is the Sicilian one. 1% of the weight, 100 kilograms, 1% of the weight of its ancestor. I mean, think about it. 1%. This is tiny. And this example here, this is a skull of a rodent, mice, rats. A mouse skull is this big. This is 50 centimeters long, the skull. When it was published, it was estimated to be about 1,000 kilograms. I revised that number and appeared on BBC for that. I was very proud. Only 350 kilograms, still the largest rodent ever. Another thing we're doing in the lab, and this is what we've been working a lot recently, is the effect of climate warming and range shift. This is the distribution of the white-footed mouse today. Where it's red, it's where we find it, so it's here. Where it's green, it's where we don't find it. This is in 2050, when students in my lab produced that model. It's going to be all over the place. Well, you say, why? Sure. There's going to be a mouse up in Shepherdville, why not? This is a problem, because this mouse carries some ticks, like you can see on the ear here, and in the tube, and the tick carry Lyme disease. Lyme disease is emerging in Quebec. The first human case that's been identified here in the province was in 2008, and we've been after it. We've been collecting ticks and mice over the last 2 years in the field, and we're finding that the ticks and the disease, so the ticks in green and the disease in red, is actually here in our region. And so we're looking at that. We're looking at the process of range expansion and whether the mice are adapting to the local climate at the same time. And on that, I'm done. Thank you.